Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Black Urban America. We made it through another week. But what a week, what a week, what a week. I will go through my introduction probably, hopefully, by the end of my introduction. I have the other two guests on. I have one of my guests on. Everybody knows Carl Steve, a provocative thought. And I'd just like to say that on Tuesday evenings from 8 to 9, we have Black Urban America with myself, Kenny Jones. I am Kenny Jones, of course. On Saturday evenings, we have Carl Steve with Provocative Thought. He comes on 8 p.m. through 9 p.m., which he had a wonderful show about single moms the other evening. You should have tuned in on that show. But y'all get on the downloads. If y'all didn't tune in, y'all get on the downloads. And in a few weeks, we'll be adding another show. So we're making progress. Again, I just want to push this program called the Marketing Partnership Program, which assists self-employed and small business people with their product and services. With us, you get national and international exposure. What we have here? We have now, like I said, we had a rough weekend. We're gonna have a panel discussion. And we're going to discuss some of the incident that happened over the weekend. And we're going to discuss how Trump addressed it. And we're just going to have a discussion. You know my show. It's about having a conversation about the issues and the solutions of our communities. I just want to know one thing for me, myself, before I get to the guests. Do we really concern ourselves with statues? Should we protest? Should we be protesting and planning and organizing over something like equality, police brutality, economics, gentrification? But let me introduce the guests tonight. We have, for Provocative Thought, Carl Steve. How you doing, Carlton?
How you doing, Kenny? Audience.
I'm doing all right. Okay. And okay, is this John or Myra?
This is Myra.
Hello, hello, Myra. Welcome. This is your first time. We wait for one more guest. We have Myra Key, who is a financial consultant, and she hails from Tennessee. So, everybody that's listening. Yeah, I know the phone number is 909-265-9215 and press 1. I know some of you guys will be coming in later, but we're just going to start it off. Let's get to the point. Myra, since you're the new kid on the block, how did you feel about what happened this past? Well, first of all, I just want to put my input before we get involved into this discussion. I told you, Carlton, I told you from the election about Donald Trump 2 weeks ago, he gave permission to the police all over the United States to beat up black. He said thugs. Now, when you said thugs ain't enough of a cold word. He said thugs. It's okay to beat up thugs. And just, what, yesterday or the day before yesterday, I saw something on social media that this cop was just wailing on this young brother just while his lady was watching and taking it. They don't care that they're being videoed now. They don't care. They got carte blanche to beat up on folks. Now, look what just happened to, we just lost Maya Keys. Call back Maya. Here we go. I got you, honey. I got you. Okay, she's back. And look what happened this weekend. And I want to tell you something. I know I shouldn't say this. I know my show could be in jeopardy if I say this, but I think our president, you got to remember the reason why I'm saying this. I think our president hang out with white supremacists because back in the early 90s, late 80s, him and David Duke were best friends. Because the New York Post ran, not New York Post, the New York Daily News ran an article about that right after the Central Park raping where those young brothers got wrongly convicted and just came, oh, man. And I keep on telling you, Carlton, that Donald Trump is something else. Now, since I got that off my chest, Myra, what do you think about what went on this weekend?
Well, I think that we need to stop expecting civility from that section of the population. And I know that may sound strange.
When you say section
strange.
Of population, what section are you talking about? What section are you talking about?
Your white supremacists, your white nationalists, people that, you know, don't want race mixing, those people who feel as though their position in America is being threatened by minorities, we can stop expecting civility from them because time and time again they have shown us that civility is not something that they are interested in. So we have to focus on what we need to do as a community to change our community and to change the way that we respond to these situations because this is going to continue to happen. It would be great to say that, you know, things will die down, but something else will happen at this magnitude, if not more. So we have to be very careful in our in how we're reacting to it. We have to make sure that we are more strategic and less emotional in how we galvanize our communities and we respond to these type of incidences. Because we have to decide and we have to look at the situation and say, well, it happened, but they intentionally did this in an area where they knew they would not be confronted by the very people that they are fighting against. So they did it in an area on the University of Virginia's campus, and you know anybody know anything about that part of Virginia, there are not a lot of minorities in that area, not a lot of minority students attend the University of Virginia. So they tend
except
to a lot
the football
of times
players.
Yeah, exactly. Except for the athletes. They do these things in areas where they feel safe. And so we have to, you know, we have to make sure that we are prepared when the time comes when they are bold enough to actually come into our communities and start doing these things. And that's going to require us to think strategically and not think emotionally. About how we can come together and not necessarily fight against what they have going on in the sense of a violence, but strategically setting our communities up in a manner where we're not threatened if someone attempts to come into our communities and harm us.
Carlton, how you feel about what went on this weekend, man?
I was actually there.
Well, who was there?
I was.
Somebody
there.
Said they were there.
I caught.
Yeah.
Anyway. John?
Hello? Well, here's what I observed. I noticed, one, the Nazi Party, which last time I thought the Nazi Party was a monster. You know, Adolf Hitler, you know, yada, yada, yada. I thought that was a horrific, you know, experience for the world, because that was World War II. I thought being a Klansman, I thought the Ku Klux Klan was a terrorist group. And I hear this guy had semi-automatic weapons. I'm assuming, I don't know if it was loaded or not, but no kind of intervention from so-called quasi-military police force during that what was that, a rally? What was it anyway? You know, I mean, if it was one black guy with a rifle down there, that would have went a different way. But we have a bunch of white guys with some rifles.
Under the
banner, semi-automatic rifles. I heard the guys had semi-automatic rifles. I didn't see the video of all of them. I seen a little bit of a fight. But I heard some guys had semi-automatic rifles. They were talking about, actually, they were talking about on the news just now. Said that they had more firepower. Huh?
You heard that. You have never seen that because that was not,
no,
that was
I haven't,
not
I haven't
at
seen
all
anything.
What happened.
I haven't seen anything.
You said you heard it, but I was there.
No, I heard.
I literally heard it. I have a broken elbow.
Okay. Hey, guys.
I heard.
Guys.
I haven't even seen much of the video.
Hold up. We all cannot speak at one time. Let the person finish the statement. When he finished, then you can come in with a comment. Okay? Now, Carl, please continue. Okay, who am I speaking to, 732? What's your name?
My name is Frank.
Okay, Frank, just let Carlton finish, and then you can speak, okay? And welcome to Black Urban America. Go ahead, Carlton.
Okay, so, you know, I just found it amazing that, you know, the way that it actually turned out, you know, it's on videotape. We have a group of people assaulting another group of people. You have a guy run the car into a group of people. He's charged with manslaughter, not first-degree murder. And I don't know, it just seemed like that would have went a completely different way if those people would have had a darker tan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Frank, go ahead, Frank. What you got to say about this weekend?
Well, that's the if story. That's the if it would have. If would have, if it this, if that, if my aunt had balls, she would be my uncle. If is a very, very wide word. I was there as a reporter. And
okay.
I got to see both sides of it. And it was ugly on both sides. I'm a white male, and I am completely against, and first of all, I'm Polish-American. So I am completely against any neo-Nazi KKK faction that shows that Hitler was a good person because he killed 2.7 million of my own people years ago. So I have no remorse for anything that could have happened to them, and I thought that sometimes should have happened. But none of the violence came from their side, which was weird.
Mm-hmm.
So Frank,
I sat there. I was in the medic unit for about 4.5 hours. And I watched every single person that came into the medic unit came from the Antifa side. None of them came from the Unite the Right side. Now, I got to be honest with you, I bumped into a lot of ignorant, very hateful idiots. Purebred Southern idiots. But they were peaceful. They were helping people. They were bringing them in. They were washing their eyes out with water and baby shampoo, because it's the only thing that can get mace really out of your eyes.
Right.
But when I
right.
walked into the Antifa side, that's where I went first. That's where I started off. We were being attacked immediately just for having cameras. We were trying to document the entire situation from both sides. But we started on the Antifa side, and Antifa attacked us immediately. Said, we don't want to be filmed. They were all wearing masks. They all had helmets. They started throwing. They were pepper spraying us. They were throwing stuff at us. And there were white kids yelling Black Lives Matter.
Right.
White kids.
I saw that too.
Yelling Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And they were paid. They were basically, it's a socialist army that's being created by George Soros, which is a horrible thing that these kids are actually getting paid to get into these wars. To start a race war, when I saw these ignorant neo-Nazi, KKK, all these horrible, horrible human beings being peaceful, and then they invited us in so they can give medical attention to us. That's what didn't make sense to me, is that the worst people, the clearly worst people, were the ones who were being nonviolent and accepting. And when I explained to them Catholic, and they would never, we could never get along, because I'm Catholic and they're Christian, the KKK, the Nazis, hate Catholicism.
Frank, can I say something? I've been watching CNN for 48 hours, and they keep on showing tape after tape after tape. All I see is bats, sticks, pepper spray. And it looks like, and it appears that the violence was started by the white supremacists and neo-Nazis. The people from the anti Confederate just would protect themselves.
Well, that's what CNN is going to show you. I was there documenting it. I was there documenting it, and I can tell you right now, 100% fact. I will swear on my dead father's grave.
All violence was started
by the Antifa.
So what outfit do you report for?
I report for an online site that is not, I'm not allowed to say which site it is, but it is a nonpartisan site. We are in a lot of problems with Alex Jones InfoWars, and they're trying to shut us down. Because we're pretty much anti-alt-right.
Let me ask you something, Frank. Let me ask you something. How did you feel about, and I'm going to tell you all my panel guests about, I'm going to say this again, about Donald Trump saying 2 weeks ago to law enforcement that it was okay to beat up thugs. Thugs is a code word for young black inner city men.
Show me the documentation for that, and I will argue again. CNN has not produced any documentation. That is not a real story. If you show me the actual documentation from the White House or the cabinet, documentation.
Frank,
you're following a made-up story right now.
Will fuel the fire for this past weekend. Let me go on.
Happened in Berkeley, California. When Yiannopoulos was going to speak, and that happened in February, this is the same thing that happened in May in Portland, Oregon. These are the same stories, and these are the same Antifa, American terrorists, these young children who come in and try to attack people. But now when you say things like you're showing me that Donald Trump said something. Now, listen, I don't like Donald Trump. I would never want an idiot
Frank, you're saying that the young millenniums are going around the country starting these protest fights and conflicts.
This is a paid socialist army. This is a paid socialist army. There are camps in Portland, Oregon. There are camps in Seattle, Washington. There are camps in Chicago, Illinois. George Soros has been funding this, and he's been admitting it. But you're saying that Donald Trump said something that he never said. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said,
he
Donald
did
Trump
say
an idiot,
that.
And
he
shouldn't be in charge of a garage sale, let alone a country.
He did say that. He said that out of his mouth.
He never said
you
that. Show me,
said,
the, show me White
you
House press that says that.
Trying to tell me he didn't say
show me
well,
White
I'm
House press that says that. This is a made-up story.
Okay.
Show me White House press. If you can right now, click and read off. And
well, I can't show it now because we're not video. We're
radio. White House press.
I can't show it. If we was video, I could show
it. Yeah,
exactly. But right
now, there's no person in their right mind who would say anything so silly.
I'm going to email it to you. Well, let me go to my Frank. Let me go on to another guest. Just hold on.
What website is it from? I guarantee you, it's not from a legitimate source.
It came out of President Trump's mouth. That's the saw
it. You saw the video.
And I heard it with my ears, and I saw it with my eyes. Oh, let me go to my next kid. John, that's you? John,
this is Jay. This is Jay calling in.
I call you John.
Jay.
You know I call you John. I'm sorry, Jay.
I know, but it's Jay. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening,
how are you?
We got Jay. How do you feel about this past weekend?
Jay? Well, I just—it's so sad, and it's an atrocity, and you know, it's just—it's unfortunate for the country as a whole. You know, there's been a lot of things that we've gone through, but you know, we're to the point where, you know, I feel like this whole Civil War thing never really ended. I think that, you know, it's been going on, and you can fight a war in many different ways. You know,
the Civil War is clearly ended.
Let her talk, Frank. People were quiet.
No, I thought we were talking.
Will you talk? Let her talk. Frank?
I thought it was a forum.
Her talk.
I didn't know. There's
a forum, but you got to let people express their opinions and views.
I did was
talk with her. Jay, I'll put you in queue, man. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, well, you know, you can fight in many different ways, and basically the Civil War, the war has been going on. Unbeknownst to many people that have been striving for the country to be a better place, you know, there's still a great amount of people that in countries that feel that, you know, it should be about them and them only. And so, you know, it's been brewing for a long time. And I think that, you know, it's just unfortunate to see, you know, that the head of the country, you know, does not have the capacity to be a leader for all people. And so I just really feel it's going to get a lot worse, period.
Guys, let me ask you this question. Well, first of all, I'd like to appreciate everyone for coming on the panel tonight to discuss this sensitive situation. And I just want to remind you, let's respect each other's opinions and views. Let the person finish their thought before we could speak. Now, let me put this out there. Do you think that, now Jay brought something up, very crucial. Do you think this is going to escalate? Anybody could jump in.
Absolutely, unfortunately, yeah.
I agree.
I think so, it won't cease to escalate. There's no way to stop it because there's no governing body.
But wait, what are we talking about?
Okay, never mind.
What are we talking about? Escalate? What? More
these
marching
conflicts,
and fighting and
these,
marches? What do we mean? Race war? What are we talking about?
No, I don't think it'll escalate to a race war. I don't think this is at all heading towards a race war. What I think this is escalating towards is extreme civil disobedience, which is being pretty much fed by local governments that are allowing these things to happen, that are giving police stand-down issues. When a police department is told to stand down when they're issued that, it pretty much gives anybody the ability to do what they want. Now, what they did in Durham, North Carolina today, or was it yesterday when they tore down that statue? Yeah, that's a statue that they all despise. And they all have a right to petition to remove that statue. And if the petition was signed and it was voted on and the statue was ordered to be removed through a democratic process, I would say yes, absolutely, get rid of the statue. Get rid of the statue. If the people are upset by it, get rid of it. But when they're allowed to go there and throw straps over it, rip it off in a public place with no police interference whatsoever. Now, when I was a kid, you couldn't mess with any public building in your life. Now they're tearing down a public statue. No police interference. What's to stop them from going to a politician's house and setting fire.
What's
well,
the
well, you know what?
In your
but Frank, yeah, can I just interject here? But Frank, more importantly than that, you know, I'm watching every day how police officers are pulling African Americans over. And they are asking them to get out of the car.
I don't see that as a... you talk about
buildings being pulled down, and you don't see an escalation. You know, it's inevitable that there's going to be
an escalation.
Yeah, well, and into a race war, because you have some of these same people that are in the positions to uphold the law are Klans people. And many of them are working every day. They are accosting. They're judge, jury, and executioner right in the streets. As soon as they meet a person, you could be coming home from work. It doesn't matter. I saw them take an 80-year-old woman and slam her down on the ground. She had a hearing problem, and he told her to turn around, and she was walking. He ran over to her and slammed her down on the ground. And that's not police work. All of these things, and you know, this has been going on for years and years and years. And it's institutionalized in our country. It's in the education system. It's in the judicial system. It's in banking. It's in gerrymandering. It's in every part of the existence. And this has been going on since the Civil War. And so you have a situation where it's escalating out of control. And then you have a president who condones it, along with the cabinet who's condoning it, and then you have people that pull down a statue. But we have some issues that are just boiling over to the point that it definitely has to change, and I don't see it changing. I see it escalating.
My first thing is I don't know your name. You know mine. I want to speak with you. What's your name, sweetheart?
My name is Jay.
Jay, okay. My name is Rick. Yeah. It's very nice to talk with you, and I just hope we can talk back and forth in a positive manner.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But now I see what you're saying. Now, I'm actually going through a lawsuit right now from police department in my local jurisdiction that put a beating on me. But not because I was black or white, just because of the fact that I was there and their opportunist power struggle. You know, they go for that power. Unfortunately, the police department in this country is not trained properly, and probably every jurisdiction. I'm sure there's jurisdictions that are properly trained. I haven't met one. What they are, they're power hungry. Usually, you know.
Can I just interject one thing right there?
Sure, absolutely.
I have members of my family that are police officers, police chiefs, police captains, and I can tell you they're trained.
Are they racist?
They make a conscientious decision on how they're going to wield the authority of the law. And sometimes it's spewed with hatred, sometimes it's spewed with prejudice, and those same officers have the capacity and the potential to conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. So,
well, then you know good friends. You have good friends and family.
The police officers in my family are good. I mean, some of them, you know, are wretched and they're horrible, and some of them are. So here's the thing, though. When you talk about the training, you could train all day. Well, you got to look at the condition of the heart,
You know police officers who are black, but they are also racist.
Yeah, I know some.
Why are they allowed to carry a gun?
Me too, because that's
the
why are they allowed
white
to carry
people.
A gun?
The same reason why white
well,
people
I don't
can be racist police officers have guns.
Speaker.
The same reason why white
no,
racist
no, we're not
police
getting
officers
off the
have guns.
She mentioned that there is a horrible epidemic of racist cops.
If the condition of the heart and the state choose to wield their racist thoughts and abuse people, they do it. They have the authority and capacity to do it. And
we
we're seeing more
we still
of
don't see any,
more.
We still don't see any okay. evidence of an actual cop admitting that what he did was through racist intent. There's still been not one yet in this entire world.
So that does not mean that it's not happening because they have not admitted to it. Because they have not admitted, they won't. They never will. But when you can stand there and you can treat one person one way because of their skin color and treat someone else another way, you have issues to deal with. Whether you admit it or not,
I can back that up. Actually, I can actually back that up.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Let's move on.
Let's
move on. Yo, Frank.
No, we're in the middle of a conversation.
What did I say in the beginning? Let's move on because get a little heated. I like the dialogue. I'm all about it. But let's get some other people the opportunity. I've got two other guests up on here, and you ain't letting them talk. Okay, but let me throw this topic.
I thought it was just me and Jay.
Let me ask this question. I want you to think about before y'all respond. How did you feel about a reporter with Donald Trump was at the podium and he was explaining about what was going on, how he condemned this, he condemned that, and the reporter said, "Mr. President, how do you feel about the white supremacists?" And Donald Trump turned around, looked at him, and kept on walking. Do you think Donald Trump really condoned this action that's starting to happen? Because he said, he keep on saying, he's going to take America back. And you take America back to the 40s and 50s, it will never put violence against minorities.
Do you mind if I go on this one?
Let Carlton go first. Go ahead, Carlton.
Hello.
Fire, and
I didn't have a pivot.
With you and Frank.
I didn't have the privilege of being there. Again, I observed y'all the news saying something to the effect that we're going to, like you said, Kenny, about take the country back, revive America. I don't know what the good old days was, because if we go back 50 years, then we couldn't do certain things that we're allowed to do now. We go back just 50 years ago. But, you know, these guys were rallying behind what Donald Trump spoke about, making America great again. So, not to assume what that is, but I have to question, what is he talking about, and what do these people, these Caucasian guys, feel that that means? What does that mean to make America great again? Does that mean to give white people more power to oppress minorities? What does that mean, making America great again? Because the history of America is not great, if you want to keep it real. If you look at the history of America, how America came to being, that's not you want to just tell your kids at night. You know what I'm saying? So what does he mean by making America great? Does it mean bringing jobs back to America? What does it mean? What is that? What is that all about?
How you feel about how Donald Trump responded to that reporter when he said, how does he feel about the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis? And he just turned around and kept on walking. How you feel about his response?
I don't feel any type of way because it's to be expected. See, I don't have, when someone shows me who they are, then I'm no longer surprised about their reaction. Now, if I could just back up for 1 second, when they were talking about police officers, and I think the gentleman asked the question, had he never heard a police officer openly admit that what they did was as a result of them being a racist? Well, I was a police officer. I was a uniformed officer, and I was also a narcotics officer at one time. So
I have been in the uniform,
and I wore
the uniform. Yep.
So
what you got to say about that, Frank?
I know firsthand what it is to be a police officer and to be in that culture. So what I can say about that firsthand is that many of the men that you meet at the police academy are there, and they have deep-rooted opinions about people of color, and they've been taught these opinions by their fathers and their grandfathers. So many of them
Why weren't those men reported to their higher officer?
I can answer that.
That never happened. If somebody showed signs of racism in the police academy, they would have been reported.
No, they wouldn't. Not everybody jump on them.
May I finish?
Go ahead, Myra.
If I can finish, please.
Go ahead, Myra.
I just want to address what he just said.
Go ahead, my sister.
So I don't know you personally. But what I will say that you have a very, unfortunately, a naive opinion about this situation, because see, what you have to understand is, who do you think the superiors are? The superiors many times hold the same views as those very recruits. And I saw this firsthand being a black female at the police academy. So it's not about you reporting what some guy says to you out on the firing range and you think something's going to happen, because nothing is going to happen. Let me finish. So what you got to understand about being
She's asking me a question, so I answered it.
I didn't know when somebody asked me a question, I was not supposed to answer it
because they said as a black woman, so then I'm not supposed to answer.
I didn't say you weren't supposed to answer, sir. What I'm telling
the host of the show said that.
Okay, so
I didn't say anything like that.
And so what I'm telling you is, it doesn't matter that it's reported or not. Those things are fallacies about things getting reported and certain things happen, but if they're reported,
it's documented.
That doesn't happen in the police rank. When you're behind that blue wall, there are unspoken cultural norms that you are asked to abide by when you wear that uniform. That's why you see, and sometimes how you see, black officers fall into a trap of just becoming a police officer and sometimes remove themselves from their skin color when they're out with their white counterparts, when they're out with their fellow white police officers, because you're forced to buy into that culture, because if you don't, you will be blackballed within the police department. I saw it, and I saw other people get blackballed, because as soon as you come out and you say, this guy over here used too much force, or you start questioning the things that you're seeing your fellow police officers do, you are then ostracized. And so you have a couple of different choices. Either you buy into the culture sometimes, or you have to remove yourself from the situation. Now, every police department is different. You have some great police officers out here. You have some great commanders out here. But there are some formers that are in the system. And it's a culture that unless you have put on that uniform and had that gun and you've been put in situations where you have to make split-second decisions, it's really not something that can be understood until you have had the opportunity to work into that culture. So you can only speak from what you've read, what you've been told, and what you've seen.
Well, I can speak what I've learned.
I have a question.
I'm still trying to retort, but I won't get a chance. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to go.
I have a question.
As a journalist, former military, who's worked in two cities. I worked in Baltimore, Maryland, and I worked in Newark, New Jersey. I worked under only black police captains, black mayors, black attorney generals. That's all I've worked with. And I've never heard any of this. I've never heard any of this where nobody can complain about racism to their capital. And I'm talking about in Northern Maine.
Come on.
Well, I know it to be true.
No, I think you're being
I think you're being
absolutely silly.
Oh, no, no. It's,
I think what you're doing is you're making up stories.
With the sister. No, I definitely agree with the sister. I've seen it myself. And just because you don't know about it, you're not supposed to know.
Oh, well, no, but I was working under – there was a police department with an entire black command, and there was no stories about them. And I know every – I know every cop on the Newark Police Department, and I knew about 30% of the cops on the Baltimore Police Department. I spent 3 years in Baltimore, 9 years in Newark.
I knew many of them also. And there's
and there was no stories of any of this going on.
He doesn't know, Kenny. He doesn't know. He said he's never experienced that. That's his experience.
How
okay?
do you become
you don't know.
The police
exactly.
as a black man?
That doesn't mean it doesn't
happen. I know that it happened. I know that it happened in New York.
There's a lot of crybaby. There's a lot of crybaby stuff going on in this country, and that's a very unfortunate thing. That's why I'm reporting to myself, not for any you thing. Everybody wants to say that they're a victim of something. You're not a victim of anything. You're a victim of your own reality. There is a reason why the single parent rate for African American families is 67%. There's a reason why the single parent rate for a Caucasian family.
I'm doing the white supremacist show. I don't know where you came from. This thing. Hey Frank.
If you see my girlfriend, she's fucking
Frank,
darker.
Frank, you got to stay on subject. I'm glad to have you. But we got to stay on subject. Focusing on some of the issues that happened over the weekend, Donald Trump, his response, the white supremacy, the Ku Klux Klan. That's all we're going to single families. That's another show.
Speak about that.
But sometimes if you want to bring that up, we got an expert, right? We got a couple of experts on the panel. So
yeah, but you don't have any.
Excuse me.
White supremacy. But if you watch his direct.
You're breaking up, Frank. You're breaking up. Okay, let me put him in queue. He's breaking up. Okay. Whew.
Frank is an interesting
person. Carlton, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There?
You hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
I thought, look, you know, I got to give Frank credit. Yeah, Gus. You know, I bet you, Frank, a lot of white folks that are liberal have that type of thinking. You know, victimization, we're victimized, we crying on the victim, but they never stay on track on what is the underlying problem. And the underlying problem here to me, that this country is being run by a racist.
Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. How do you get to exterminate a whole group of people from the more almost exterminate a whole group of people and enslave another? That's nothing new. That's who's at the head. That's who's in. You there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
That's who's in control. That's power. Now, racism is, to me is one of the tools to use to preserve power, because you know, that's how you divide people. So I divide and conquer, one of the oldest tricks in the book. Keep dividing. Divide by everything that a man is and a man think that he is. Divide them, keep them divided, keep them going against each other, keep them bumping heads. And meanwhile, you have this, and their main goal is to perpetuate their power over you, make decisions, life decisions over the world.
So racism is nothing new. It didn't just pop up when Donald Trump became president, or these recent rash of marches with the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazi groups and things like that. I mean, we just came out of being lynched what about one or two a week a long time ago? How far was that? About maybe 60 years ago, something like that?
Let's try 35 years ago. Let's try 40 years ago. The last one that was lynched, reported lynched, was in the 60s. Hello?
Right. Yeah,
we got Frank back. The last person to be lynched was the recorded lynch was like in the 60s. They just started bombing us and shooting us then.
Right. Well, that wasn't 40 years ago. 40 years ago would have been 1977.
Killing of a black man has not stopped, Frank. This is going on yesterday. That's right, yesterday. Okay?
Right.
Killing of a black man from a law enforcement officer. Okay? Killing of a black man for something that he didn't do. Okay? Killing of a black man with his hands is held up in the air. That last year. Killing of a black man when he said, I am going for my ID. I have a gun permit. And his kid is in the back seat. That's last year. So nothing has changed. Just the message has changed.
Nothing has
changed. What do you say about that, Myra?
It hasn't. The media. See, the media plays such wonderful tricks on people's minds and people's psyches. The media is one of the great controllers of the world, and so
yes,
we are bombarded with images sometimes that make it appear that things have improved, but under the surface, a lot of things have not improved. And we have to remember that we're really only a generation and a half out of full-blown segregation. So you have many people that are older that lived during that time, and they had their children were young during that time and were indoctrinated into that way of life. And so, once again, going back to the media does such a good job to turn certain people and certain communities into the villain. And so it's so easy then for people to go out and marginalize the lives of those people in those communities. And so when things happen to people in those communities, then nobody really finds anything wrong with it. No one gets all up in arms about what's going on. People say things and people go out and they protest, but they don't make a concerted effort to get the people out of office that are allowing these things to happen. And so until we're honest with ourselves, a lot of white America is still in denial about what's going on in this country. And it's great that you have certain segments of white America that want to say they want to fight against racism and they want to be there on the front lines. However, at the end of the day, if you have not been in a situation where you have been harassed and things have happened to you just based on the neighborhood that you live in and what you look like, it's hard to internalize that and completely understand that, because those outside of our communities go back to their communities after the dust settles and the fighting is over. And our communities are the ones that are torn up, torn down, and suffering. And those other communities are just as they were from the beginning. So it's a lot of denial that's still going on in this country. And, you know, as far as Donald Trump is concerned, we should not be surprised by anything that's going on. We have to look at how he came to office.
Right.
Yeah, we have to look at how this man came to office. his presidency run did not just start a few years ago when he decided to run for president. This was something that started many, many years ago, Donald Trump's trail to the White House. This was a calculated effort that started many, many years ago. And if you look into the background of the man, I can't think his last name, his first name is Roger, that was the person that was behind the scenes and ran Donald Trump's campaign from beginning to end. If you research him and you look at the type of person he is and exactly how he runs campaigns, he used rural white America and poor whites. He used their anger to get Donald Trump elected. I mean, Ronald Reagan had the same slogan. Ronald Reagan used the same slogan, "Let's make America great again." He used the same slogan. So this isn't anything new. Donald Trump isn't saying anything new. I just think that a lot of people are not accustomed to how brash he is and how he says things, and that's because he doesn't have any type of political background, and he's not easily they don't have the type of leash on him that they maybe thought that they would be able to have people behind the scenes. But this has all been calculated. We can't be surprised by Donald Trump. We can only prepare ourselves and strategically prepare our communities for what is obviously about to come. Because Donald Trump is going to do what Donald Trump does. Donald Trump knows nothing about poverty. He knows nothing about being discriminated against. He doesn't live in that world. He doesn't understand that world. He doesn't fathom that world.
You sure don't.
So for us to even think on any level that he will ever understand that, then we're the ones that are crazy. We can't expect him to understand anything about what we deal with on a day-to-day basis in our community, because that's a world that is as foreign to him as Mars is to us. So we can't worry about Donald Trump. We can't worry about what's going on in the White House. We need to worry about what's going on in our own communities on a day-to-day basis, and what's going on with our families on a day-to-day basis. Because learning about Donald Trump...
Let me ask that question. I want you to ask your question on that premise right there. I want you to ask that question. I want to ask a question, something you said. Do you think that we need to be independent from all of the events that are happening? For example, economic independence, culture independence, social independence. Yes, politically we have to be involved because we have to elect local officials, state officials that concern us. Do you think we need to focus our energies on what our environments, on our community, because there's a lot of gentrification going on, or our environments, or our education system, or our family, or our children, instead of what's happening on CNN and SBC?
Yeah, we definitely need it. We definitely need to focus on what's going on in our communities. The economics is the number one thing, because we need to be in a position where we're able to buy our votes. We're able to buy our politicians. And so some people will say, "What do you mean? That sounds crazy." But that's what the elite do in this country. They buy.
That's what the Koch brothers do. That's what the Koch brothers do.
Yes.
The Koch brothers
buy
both sides.
No, we're not. Right now, our communities are not galvanized in the way that we have the type of economic structure set up to buy our politicians. And that's, I mean, between the lobbyists and the backdoor deals that go on with politicians, we all know that those that can write the biggest check have the ear of the politicians when real legislation on the local level starts to go down, because that's where the real change happens anyway, on the local level, not at the national level anyway. We've got to control our local elections and ensure that the right local people are getting put in place to make concrete changes in our community. So, and that all happens with economics.
You're doing nothing locally. None of you are doing nothing locally. Stop.
What?
Excuse me?
What you got to say about that, Frank? Go ahead, Frank. Let Frank talk.
That's one of the craziest. That was one of the craziest rants I've ever heard in my entire life, where somebody sat there and said that we have a racial presidential problem, which apparently we didn't have for the 8 years prior to that. And then I heard somebody stating, this woman stating that there are backdoor deals. Now, if she has any evidence of any backdoor deals, please bring that to our attention.
Frank. I've been involved in politics since I was 16 years old. That's all.
And have you seen any backdoor deals?
Hold up, Frank. This is my show. Frank, I have seen payoffs.
Have you reported payoffs
in a northern city. In a northern city. I have seen payoffs.
Have you reported any of this?
Why? It's the game. It's the political game.
No, you can't play along with the game and then complain about the game later. It doesn't work that way. Everybody says they have proof of something, but nobody's ever once given the proof. I hear claims. The past 8 years was so beautiful.
No,
I said that from the beginning.
Who said that?
I didn't hear that either. Matter of fact, the past eight years, is that what he's referring to?
Crazy years. It was not so nice years for the black man in America. High unemployment rate, high dropout rate, and that's how come that we started to come together and start building our own businesses.
No, this is when Antifa started. Antifa started under Obama.
You keep on saying this.
Everything you're saying is undocumented. I'm telling you, no president. I'm telling you, there's 330 million documented people. Well, 320 million documented people in this country. That's just documented. There's no one person in the world who can govern that. I'm telling you, it's a stupid system. There should not be a one-man thing. We should go to the old fucking sci-fi movies and have a panel of elders.
This is a family show.
Let me have Neil deGrasse Tyson. Give me Bill Gates. Give me Neil deGrasse Tyson. Give me Mark Cuban. Give me guys like that. Put 8 people in charge of this country. One in charge of space. One in charge of poverty. One in charge of politics. One in charge of military. That's where you get a real government. Having one person in charge is not a real thing because no one person can do it. Trump is the most unqualified person to be a president that's ever been a president. And I'm looking right at George W. Bush. He's like George Washington compared to Donald Trump. But neither is Barack Obama, and neither is Bill Clinton, neither is Hillary Clinton, neither is Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter or Gerald Ford. None of them are qualified to run a 320 million populated establishment. And that's documented. So we're probably at almost 400 million if you count undocumented, right?
Yeah.
Maybe more.
So let's get a panel of elders.
Maybe more.
Like,
yeah, I was going to say maybe
this?
More.
Instead
it's just the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's quite possible. It's very quite possible. How about we break the system? Instead of going white, black, why don't we just say, hell, this system doesn't
happen.
Work for
It'll
anybody.
Happen. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. It'll never
happen.
Yeah,
but happen.
It's too much money in it.
What are you trying to accomplish?
It's all about the money, boss.
I guarantee you what you're trying to accomplish is definitely not going to happen because of the money.
Oh, it's going to happen because let me tell you something. We got $1.3 trillion in our communities. We just got to learn to spend on ourselves instead of giving it to you.
Oh, you're looking at a race war.
To him.
No, I say, well,
no, don't have a race war.
It's not about race war. Hey, you know
you're saying we have it appeared to me.
You
want to say
that?
Compared
I
to me.
Said economic, I said economic war, an economic revolution for my people so we could stop having 99 cents out of a dollar leaving our communities and have that 99 cents stay our community so we can.
But what does that have to do with us?
Nothing. It's all about us. It's all about
us.
Okay,
so you want to have your own
we
community.
Have to be
you
selfish.
Want to segregate. You want to segregate,
okay.
Right?
You
I mean, that's what
well,
you're saying, because I told you we were trying to live together. I didn't know you wanted to segregate.
I don't want to live with you. I want to live with my people. I feel comfortable.
I thought, no, I thought us as all Christians
I
were
I feel
people.
Comfortable in my neighborhood, because every time I live among you, I always get harassed by the cops. Now we get
and every
personal.
Time and every
all right.
And every time I walk through my own neighborhood, I have to be harassed by my own neighbors, community. Because of my color. But I don't look down at them. I want to have a better life for all of us together. But now I see that you want to be segregated. And now you should have been marching in Charlottesville the KKK and with the neo-Nazis because they want segregation. If you want segregation, just say it loud. Say it proud. I'm black and I want to be alone. Say it.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, I want you to say it. I want you to say it proudly that you don't want to be alone.
I already
said it. Because you're racist.
I'm not a racist. How can I be a racist?
You don't want to be around white people. You say you people. How many times do you say you people to me?
I say I want to be around my people. I want to.
You
want to
be by your people because my people are no good. Okay, I understand. Now, guess what? Now, if I said I only want to be around white people, how would that sound? How would that sound?
Wait, why are you putting words in my mouth, man?
Listen, maybe you should have let. Maybe we should let the South give another shot at the war.
I never said.
You can have your own neighborhood up north.
Said,
we'll go down south.
Hey,
I got a question.
That's the most ignorant and racist shit I ever heard in my life.
I got a question.
This is
when was America
show.
Great? When was America great? And what is the greatness that
folks
are talking about returning America
to? Post-World War II, when we were an economical superpower.
I said, well, so
not
who was it great for in
it's
America?
It's all about jobs.
Oh, he's talking about economics.
Yeah, economics. Economical superpower. Post-World War II, one man with a regular menial job at a factory could afford two cars, a four-bedroom house, and put two kids through college. That was the average.
Yeah.
That was the average.
Okay.
That was like minimum wage. Like you can, as long as you can push a broom, you can own a home, you can put two kids through college, you can afford two cars, and you can take care of a four-bedroom house.
So, with
that,
that was
the old days. That's called what's that dude? Clint Eastwood from Gran Torino. That style.
Okay. So in order to make America great, we have to bring the job, right? That left back. We have to become a
when Apple, when they signed over all their job contracts to China, and when Jeep signed over their production to China, which were both signed over by Obama, but I didn't claim that as racism. I just claimed that as a stupid president.
Hey, I didn't say that.
I've heard a couple racist things. So
we run out of time. I want to thank Jay Myra.
Yes.
You got to stop cursing this affair. Myra, thank you for coming on the show, sister.
Thank you, man.
This is a family show where a black man told a white person he doesn't want to be around him. Greatest family show on the planet. What is this, like, full? Oh, this is like Family Matters. I'm like Steve Urkel, fucking dickhead white friend.
Hey, you gotta stop cursing. I'm gonna cut you off, my man.
No, I.
Hey, Carl. Hey, Carl.
Yeah.
I like this guy, man. Thanks for coming on the show. It's interesting. We had, you know, I'm glad he came on. I'm glad he caught the advertisement. And because we need to hear that. We need to hear. You know, because with people, because there are people that really don't hear that voice. They need to hear that. So, Myra, I'm going to be in touch with you. Carl, you know we speak every week. So I just want to tell Jay, thank you. And, you know, Saturday's Marcus Garvey Day. There's an event in Atlanta, Georgia. I just don't know the address. I'm confused with the address. And I'm celebrating Marcus Garvey Day. If you want to know what I'm about, friend, read Marcus Garvey. With that, I bid y'all good night. Y'all have a nice evening, all right?
Good night, everybody.
Same to you, Kenny. Hey, buddy.
All right, man. Well, folks, that's another week. What an interesting interaction. I really can't wait to market this show this week. I thank for everybody for coming on the show. I thank Frank. Matter of fact, I got Frank's number. I'm going to keep in touch with Frank. I think I met a new friend. Guys, as always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night.